Amen. Amen. Let's go to John 3:16. That's our standard launching point. And I'm going to share it out of the Voice. And it reads, "For God expressed his love for the world in this way. He gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not face everlasting destruction, but will have everlasting life." Here's the point. God didn't send his Son into the world to judge it. Instead, he is here to rescue a world headed towards certain destruction. Amen? Tell your neighbor, you're a rescue worker. Amen. 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 How many here like country western music? Hey, I see some hands. Okay. Well, I remember a song that I used to listen to. Actually, I used to sit in front of the radio and sing along with it. "Home on the Range." Right, I'm not going to ask you to sing it. Oh, but it's "Give Me a Home Where the Buffalo Roam and the Deer and the Antelope Play, Where Seldom Is Heard a and the Skies Are Not Cloudy All Day." See, no one wants to be in a dark place. But even more than that, no one wants to be around people that they're always talking negative stuff. And that they're always talking words that discourage instead of encourage. And that song, which was really part of a poem written in the early 1870s, I read that, I wasn't there. Okay. And you know, then it was put to music, and the settlers moving out west had kind of adopted that as their theme song because they wanted peace. You know, they wanted to be encouraged. All right, stay with me, folks. Stay with me. They'll fix the phone. Or do you want me to stop until I get it done? All right. Just stay focused. Don't let those things distract you. Okay? But I looked up some things about that word discourage, and I found out that is a really insidious word. It really is, folks. Because if you look at the dictionary, discourage means to deprive of courage. To deprive of courage, hope, or confidence. It also means, listen to this one, deprive of the will to continue. See, so discouragement does not mean, you know, discouragement doesn't come to get you to stop. It comes to make you not want to continue. See, that you need to understand the difference. It knows it can't stop you, but it comes with such force that you decide, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm just not doing it. That's why it's so insidious. See, it can't do anything to you on its own. It has no power to stop you, but it influences you in such a way that you decide, I can't continue. And so we don't want to be around folks that just discourage. No matter what happens, you know, they can't have anything encouraging to say. But I have an answer for it, because, you know, the truth is there's no place on earth, you know, where seldom is heard a discouraging word. And so we need to know, all right, how do we get through this? And the answer is really very simple. It's so simple. It's true, but it's so simple. Go with me, please, to 1 Thessalonians. I'm in the King James, verses 9 to 11. It reads, "For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Now, I read that, and you know, I know folks were thinking, well, he's going to share a scripture, and we're going to go just, yeah, that's it. That's the one. You know, well, just hang out with me. You know, this is School of the Bible. But there are two key words in that scripture that we need to just unpack a little bit. What do you think those two words are in verse 11? Comfort and edify. Okay, comfort. Let's start with comfort. All right, it means to call, and this is according to the dictionary. It means to call to one side. So why do that? So that they're not alone. To address, speak to, call upon, to exhort, to encourage, and to strengthen. See, when we're comforting someone, the first thing we're doing is we're standing together with them so they know somebody's with me. I'm not going through this alone. That in itself is encouraging. You know, I'm not by myself. You know, we have to remember that Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, I mean, in the Amplified Bible, he says, I will not in any way leave you. And that should get us excited. But we're strengthening one another. Edify, because it says, you know, comfort one and edify one another, it means to build up from the foundation. That's what edify means. It means you're taking someone who may be fragile, and you're starting at the base, and you're building them up from the foundation. So you have someone that's been strengthened and built solid. I mean, it means to promote growth in Christian wisdom, affection, grace, virtue, holiness, and blessedness. All of that is to edify. Folks, the defense against discouragement is to come together and encourage one another. That's really what it is. That's why it's so simple. Because it's something that Jesus already commanded us to do anyway when he said love one another, when he said love your neighbor as yourself. He's saying, no, we come together and we strengthen, we encourage, we build up. Remember, discouraged wants to deprive from courage. Discouraged wants you to say, I'm going to stop. I don't want to go on any further. But when you're encouraged, you're like, I'm going. I mean, that's just it. I'm going. I don't care. Because that means, one of the definitions means, you are stimulated to continue. That's what encourage means, to stimulate to continue. And it's not just support, you know, from your brothers and sisters. We need to understand that God is supporting us. And since God is supporting us, we should not have any concerns about anything that's going on, because we're not taking care of us. God is the one that's taking care of us. So, well, how do you know that? He said so. Look at 1 Thessalonians 9, beginning at verse 9 in 1 Thessalonians 5. It says, for God has not destined us to incur his wrath. That is, he did not select us to condemn us, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died willingly for us, so that whether we're awake, alive, or asleep, dead, at Christ's appearing, we will live together with him, sharing eternal life. Therefore, encourage and comfort one another and build one another up, just as you're doing. The Living Bible says, God has not chosen to pour out his anger upon us, but to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that we can live with him forever, whether we're dead or alive at the time of his return. So encourage each other, build each other up, just as you're already doing. The Message Bible says, so speak encouraging words to one another. Speak encouraging words. Speak an encouraging word to your neighbor right now. Just speak something encouraging to them. All right? All right? See, you build up hope. You'll all be together in this. No one, listen to this, no one is left out and no one is left behind. That's what the scripture says. So speak encouraging words to one another. Build up hope so you'll all be together in this. No one left out, no one left behind. Period. That's the way it needs to be. And it's not just good enough for me to make it. We have to make it. And that's the attitude of the encourager. It ain't about me, it's about us. We have to make it. We, the body of Christ, we have to make it through because eyes look at us. I mean, I haven't heard anyone complain about millionaires whose mansions in the Houston area were not flooded and they didn't open up their homes. I haven't heard one complaint about that. And some of these folks have these estates, you know, that are like 10, 12 acres, you know, 23 bathrooms and all this other stuff. Not one complaint. But they'll complain about Joel Osteen, Pastor Joel Osteen, because he's following what the city administrators ask him to do. We have to understand, we're not in this together. I mean, we're not in this alone, but we're in this together. And folks are looking to the church. And they're looking at the church. And it's our responsibility, and Pastor Osteen didn't do anything wrong, but it's our responsibility to make sure that when they're looking at us, they're seeing us act the same way our Father acts. And that we want folks to be encouraged by our words and by our actions. One thing we need to understand, though, and sometimes it's a little tough, you may be believing for something, and you may have been working towards it, and God may select someone else and then turn around and ask you to help them. Go to Deuteronomy 3. Okay. Deuteronomy 3 is the Amplified Bible, verse 21. God is speaking. He's saying, I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, your eyes have seen everything that the Lord your God has done to these two kings, Sion and Og. So the Lord shall do the same to all the kingdoms to which you are about to cross. Do not fear them, for it is the Lord your God who is fighting for you. Abraham is saying, then I pleaded, not Abraham, Moses said, then I pleaded with the Lord at that time for his favor, saying, O Lord God, you have only begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth that can do such works and mighty acts, miracles as yours? I pray, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond the Jordan, the good hill country with Hermon and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me. Now, here's Moses talking to the people. He said, the Lord was angry with me because of you. More accurate, he was angry at him because of what the way Moses handled them. Okay. He said, and your rebellion at Meribah and would not listen to me. And the Lord said to me, enough. Speak to me no longer about this matter. Go up to the top of Mount Pisah and raise your eyes toward the west and north and south and east and see it with your eyes. You shall not cross this Jordan. Now that's bad enough, but look at what he said next. But command Joshua and encourage and strengthen him. God is telling Moses, you're not going to go. Joshua's going. Now your job is to encourage and strengthen Joshua, because he's going, and he will give them the land which you see as an inheritance. So Moses had to make a choice. Yes, he wanted to go. He wanted to lead the people over there. He wanted to go into the land. And God said, no. Joshua is going. You strengthen Joshua. But now how do you do that? You tell Joshua the same thing that God told him. Joshua, be strong. Don't fear the people. God is fighting for you. God is the one that sent you over there. So you don't have to fear anyone, Joshua. You just go forward and do what God has told you to do. That's how you encourage. Even though in your heart you want it to be you. But if we believe God knows best, then whoever God selects is the best one to go. We need to comfort ourselves with that. I mean, how does that apply to us? Well, they're believers right now that don't like the leader that God selected. Our job is the same. We're supposed to, we have to pray for the president. We have to encourage him. I mean, the thought just popped in, you know, when you read all of the negative stuff on there, has anyone ever thought, let me post something positive about the president? Or are we thinking, boy, if I put that on my Facebook page, the comments that are going to come. But why do those negative comments come? They're designed to make you stop. See how a simple illustration of how that works. You have something good that you want to do, but if I put this out there, all of the stuff I'm going to have to deal with, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going forward with it. No, that's when you need to talk to your brother or sister in Christ and say, yeah, matter of fact, I'm going to do it too. And we'll put it on. Yeah, so if comments come, delete them if you want to. But don't stop from doing what God told you to do, because there may be a pushback, and I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. See, the last thing that the early pioneers for the West wanted to hear were discouraging words. Because all the way from their trek from the East to the West, they heard about all the stuff they were going to have to deal with. And like, just get me to this land and away from these people. And that was important to them. They knew struggles were necessary to survive, but they needed to hear that they could do it. And the ones that realized that made it. They made it. They did not quit. You need to think about what it is that God told you to do that for whatever reason you became discouraged and you stopped. And you think it's too late. Well, I'm going to ask you this question. Is there breath in your body? Then it's not too late. As long as you have breath in your body, pick up where you jumped off and keep going. Let me tell you something. Encouragement has the ability to even change someone's skill level. I'm sick because now they know that they can. When we had the school here, Love Christian Academy, I was the assistant physical development instructor, and we had an intramural basketball tournament. And the team that won the tournament was the team that had the most losses than anybody. And they were a mess. They were a mess when they started out. They were arguing and complaining, and they're like, Mr. Carr, he's shooting all the time. He won't pass. You know, one boy said to me, look, I'll take the zero. I'm not playing with them. I mean, and I said, why? I said, they don't know what they're doing. No one. And I went to the team captains and I said, listen, I said, you guys need to learn how to support each other and how to encourage each other instead of complaining. I said, if you don't do anything else, you're going to learn how to encourage one another. And they said, well, how do you do? No matter what happens, that's okay. Good play. Pat him on the back. Don't punch him in the back. Just pat him on the back. good pass, even though he threw it over the fence. I mean, you just keep encouraging them. They started playing better. They stopped whining, complaining. And you'd hear him saying, "It's okay, we'll get the next one." And they go, "High five, don't worry about it, keep going." And they won the tournament. Won the tournament. Before that, they couldn't even walk a straight line. But they learned how to encourage one another, how to speak encouragement to one another, and it affected them. They even went home. Some of them went home and they started studying basketball. "Mr. Carr, I learned another move." "Good. We'll see how it works in the game." You know, and I tell them, "Yeah, that how it worked well. Hey, good job. Way to go." I mean, as the instructor, I had to encourage them. You know, when you see them grumbling and complaining and all that, you want to snatch them. You know, but you can't. That doesn't build up. That doesn't encourage. That doesn't provoke them to good works. That doesn't stimulate them to continue. And we wanted them to continue. And it got to the place where they wanted to continue, and they realized, you know, they went from "we're not that bad" to "we're pretty good," to "we won." You remember Eugene? he was one of them. Though I'm telling you, folks, when they started out, they were a pathetic bunch. But look at Hebrews 10. This verse 35 in the Amplified Bible, verse 35 and 36. It says, "Do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it has a glorious and great reward. For you have need of patient endurance to bear up under difficult circumstances without compromising, so that when you have carried out the will of God, you may receive and enjoy what is the full, to enjoy to the full what was promised," or what is promised. By who? By God. So God is telling us in this passage, God is saying to us, look, you're going to have a great reward, but you're going to have to be patient because you're going to go through some stuff. I mean, I'm not going to take it away. So don't pray about it. You're going to go through some stuff. But you're going to come out on the other side, and my promise is going to be waiting there for you. You have to keep saying that to yourself. I used to get on the bus, take the bus from Beach 41st Street to like Beach 164th Street, wherever Reese Beach was, whatever that street was, and run back home to Beach 41st Street in the sand near the boardwalk. Every day. And at times I wanted to stop, especially when you had to deal with the dogs under the boardwalk. Okay. So I went and bought a 2 foot length of conduit, drilled holes in it, put a strap and had it in like long baton. And that was for the dogs when they decided to come. Every now and then a two-legged one would show up. And we dealt with them also. But in running, I would get tired. And I would tell myself, "Oh, no, I'm making this team in the Rucker." "Oh, no, I'm playing." I'm playing. And I just pictured myself playing. There wasn't anyone running alongside me. I had to encourage myself because my body was saying, "Stop!" And it wasn't saying it that nicely. But I would keep going. And then when I got home, you think, okay, now I'm done. No. I lived on the 12th floor. "Oh, great, you have an elevator." "No, yeah, we do, but I ran up the steps." Got on the elevator and went back down and ran up the steps again and went back down and ran. And my body was screaming, "If you stop, I'm going to burst." And then I did it once more before I stopped. telling my all, I just kept seeing myself playing, seeing everybody else getting tired except me. That's what I saw. And I just kept going and kept going and kept going. And then when I outlasted the Energizer Bunny because I was in that type of shape. But I'm going to give you an aha here that we got this down in Lancaster. Look at Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And I know you're saying, okay, we know this scripture. And I'm sure we do. But I'm going to ask you, if you're currently going through any trial, persecution, sickness, whatever it is, just raise your hand. I'm not going to call you down. Just don't be embarrassed. Just raise it. Okay. Are you there? Now, first of all, I want you to understand that all of those things, all those trials, persecution, sickness, all that stuff is designed to do one thing, discourage you, to make you decide, I'm not going any further. Okay, I can't do this on my own. Okay, you got that. All right, so this is what God said. For I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, says who? The Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare, not the government kind, and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in the final outcome. Now, so God said he has thoughts and plans for our well-being, for our peace, and to give us hope in our final outcome. When all is said and done, we have hope. He does not have any thoughts or plans concerning us and evil. None. So here's the question. Do you believe that? Yes. And say, I believe that God only has plans for my good, and he has no thoughts or plans for evil. You know what that means, folks? If you're going through it and it's not good, it's not over. If you're going through something and it's not good, it ain't over. Just keep going. Because God said he's got plans for your good. So that's the only question you have to ask yourself. Is this good? No, I'm going. Because this is not over. That's why Paul could shake the serpent off into the fire. He hadn't stood before Caesar yet. God said, you must stand before Caesar. You must. So three snakes could have jumped out. He was shaking off, put them together, make a rattle. Whatever, okay. But I got one more Lancaster moment for you. Okay? I really like this one. Look at Romans 5. I'm going to read the first five verses of the Amplified Bible. Romans 5. Says, since we have been justified, that is, acquitted of sin, declared blameless before God by faith, let us grasp the fact that we have peace with God and the joy of reconciliation with him through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed. Through him, we also have access by faith into this remarkable state of grace in which we firmly and safely and securely stand. Let us rejoice in our hope and the confident assurance of experiencing and enjoying the glory of our great God, the manifestation of his excellent power. And not only this, but with joy let us exult in our sufferings and rejoice in our hardships. Let's see, joy in suffering, rejoicing in our hardships, knowing that hardship, distress, pressure, trouble, produces patient endurance. And endurance, proven character. spiritual maturity, and proven character, hope, and confident assurance of eternal salvation. Such hope in God's promises never disappoints us, because God's love has been abundantly poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. So let me tell you what that means. If we rejoice when the pressure comes, the pressure will supply what we need to get through it. If we rejoice, doesn't it say that? Rejoice in our sufferings, in our hardships, knowing that distress, pressure, trouble produces patient endurance. What do you need to get through it? Patient endurance. How are you going to develop it? Through trials. If you rejoice, if you keep yourself encouraged, you'll have whatever you need to get through it. It's just like God used the thing that's always going to come at us to fuel us to get through. See, it depends on how you choose to look at it. You can look at a hardship as something that's just hard and that you can't do it. Or you could say, God told me to go thus and so, and this thing is standing in my way. God didn't change his plans. I'm going. Period. I'm going. Call your friend. Like in those games, you phone a friend. Tell them, where you're going. If they start saying, I can't, okay, thank you. Talk to you later. You hang up. You don't want to hear that. You don't need a can't friend. You need a can friend. Someone that will tell you, you can do this. I'm with you, brother. I'm with you, my sister. You're not in this by yourself. We're here. Come on, let's go. Well, you told me to go by myself. Okay, well, I'm stay here and I'm going to cheer you on from a distance. I mean, the Bible says we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses to give testimony of the truth. So they're in heaven telling us what the truth is. Why? To encourage us. For what? So we walk on in that truth. God said for us to speak encouraging words to one another. Encouraging words. Now, sometimes you're going to have to encourage yourself. Like, I didn't have anybody with me when I was running along the boardwalk. I had to encourage myself. But in order to do that, you have to know the promise. You can't speak an encouraging word if you don't know what the promise is. So what did God, when Pastor Ed and I, we've said this to you a lot. What has God said to you about this thing? That's number one. What did he say? The next important matter. Do you believe it? And if the answer is yes, go on. That's all. And don't let anything stop you. Because you're the one who decides whether or not you're going to stop. Discouragement's going to come and present itself as this big imposing figure, as someone that's just unbeatable. But see, we are quick to say, that the devil is a liar until he tells us we're going to die. And you're like, oh, Lord, I'm going to die. They said I'm going to die. What did God say? I mean, last time I checked, he said, you shall live and not die to declare the works of the Lord. But we understand that the devil is a liar, right? Didn't Jesus say he's the father of lies? So that means all lies come from him, okay? And we know this. So why are we paying attention to what he says? We need to think about that. Are you going to lose your job? Oh, my goodness. I just bought a car. What am I going to do? Whoa. What did God say? Well, he didn't really say he gave me this job. No, but what did he say? He will supply some of your needs. Are you sure he said all? Then why the discouragement? Why do we change plans because, you know, our income changed? I mean, same thing. It's not a lesson on tithing, but if God said to you, I want you to give $50 a week above your tithe, and you're doing that, and all of a sudden your income diminishes for whatever reason. You can walk this. You don't hear God saying, forget about that $50 over. And you're like, but God, I'm only making. Do you think he knew that when he told you? Did he say give $50 above for 3 months or 2 months? No. If he didn't put a time limit on it, don't you put a time limit on it. See, that's what the devil used your job to discourage you, to get you to stop, to get you to stop. How many of you have said, God gave me this job, nobody can take me away? Why don't you say the things that he's told you to say while you're on the job? Since he gave it to you and nobody can take it away from you and you believe that. I'm not talking about you doing something silly and off the wall. God would never do that. But he's going to let you be you. He's going to let your light shine where you are. And you need to know it's okay because it's God. And if folks don't receive it, they're not receiving God. And our job is to pray for them and intercede for them because we don't want them to face God's wrath. So it's like, okay, God, if I'm not the one, or if I am the one, give me the right, thank you for the right words, or send the right person, you know, because this soul is too valuable. We're not losing him or her or them. We're the ones that have the word from God. And we need to use that word and keep ourselves encouraged. God said he's going to send the singers and musicians. Not because we're a great musical church, but we're a great spiritual church. That's what he said. We have to comfort ourselves and encourage ourselves with that. Okay? Because we want to see the singers and musicians. It's like, okay, God, where they at? Excuse me, where are they? God said, Spirit Center for the Nations. That wasn't anything we made up. God said, the people will come and the money will come. So we encourage one another with that. No, don't get discouraged. God said. God said, God said, God said. We look, okay, so this is what came in this week, huh? As we're like, okay, so this is what came in this week. And these be our expenses this week. Okay, God, you're a whiz at multiplication. Multiply. I mean, that's what it is. You know, but we have to encourage we have to speak those encouraging words to ourselves. So what if you don't know what to say? Pray in the Holy Ghost. You just start walking around happy, praying in the Holy Ghost. Dancing in the Holy Ghost. Giving joy in the Holy Ghost. And then when you stop praying in the Holy Ghost, you may have some words in English now to say that'll keep you encouraged and keep you going. But we have to get to the place where we stop letting things get us down. Nothing can get you down. You decide, and you're the only one who can decide how you're going to feel about everything. I don't care what it is. You decide. That's the very first thing I ever learned at this church, on the very first service. Pastor Clinton said, one right that you have that no one can take away from you is the right to form your own opinion about everything. He said, somebody can hit you in the head with a baseball bat and you don't have to get mad about it if you don't want to. You know, my second thought was, really? My first thought was, I'm not going to remember for a few moments. But that statement is what made me want to come back to another service. Why? That's where I was. I felt the only way to make sure people didn't bother you was to make them feel the consequences first. And then word would spread and people would leave you alone. <Ta-da>! I didn't know that I could choose not to let it bother me. Up to that time, I had 35 years of training. As they say in Star Wars, on the dark side. Okay. But you decide how you're going to feel about anything. But let me just share with you some of the things God has said about you. You're a child of God. You're redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You're forgiven, saved by grace through faith, justified, sanctified. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're a partaker of his divine nature. You're redeemed from the curse of the law. You're delivered from the powers of darkness, led by the Spirit of God, kept in safety wherever you go. You're a son of God. You're getting all your needs met by Jesus. You're casting all your care. Think about this. You're getting all your needs met and casting all your cares. You're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You're doing all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. You're an heir to the blessings of Abraham. You're observing and doing the Lord's commandments. You're blessed coming in, and you are. You are. You are. Come on, say it like you believe it. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed coming in. No. You're healed by his stripes. You're exercising your authority over the enemy, and you're above only, and you are not beneath. You're more than a conqueror. That means you are incapable of being defeated. That's what more than a conqueror means. You're establishing God's word here on the earth. You're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You're daily overcoming the devil. And you're not moved by what you see. You're not moved by it because you walk by faith and you're casting down vain imaginations. And you're bringing every thought into captivity. You're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're laborers together with God. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're an imitator of Jesus, the light of the world, and we're always blessing and praising the Lord with our mouths. That's who we are, folks, and that's what we need to walk around saying. And we'll be some of the happiest, content people, some of the most prosperous, successful people on this planet. Not because we're special, we're peculiar. We're peculiar. There's something peculiar about a person that no matter what happens, no matter what comes, they just keep making their way through. They keep making their way through, not flashy. Don't have horns blazing and neon lights on you. You're just going through. And when the dust settles and everyone is bogged down, you're over there. And folks are like, how'd he get over there? And you're like, I've been trying to tell you, just come on with me. Let's go. How can you do that? I'm my father's child. And I believe what he said. I'm going to unhook. I was going to play a clip of something Deacon Phyllis shared, but we'll do that maybe another time. Does everybody understand? Discouragement cannot stop you. It only comes to make you decide that you're not going to go on. But if you keep yourself encouraged, discouragement can't do a thing to you. If you keep yourself encouraged, and if you decide to, you're going to encourage one another. Again, say something encouraging to somebody. Yeah, it's on the spot encouragement. We need to get in the habit of encouraging one another and talking and speaking encouraging things. Why don't get together? Did you hear what they put on Facebook about the president again? You know, did you hear what's going on over here? There's another shooting. No, is that all we have to talk about? Talk about the goodness of God in your life, what he's done for you. And not getting spooky. No, I'm serious. Not get you start talking about it and then go, oh, Jesus. No. You'll make them want to go, all right. Okay. No, but just genuine joy in the Lord. The Bible does say the joy of the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word this evening. Lift up our spirits. Strengthen our muscles. Just remind us that we can keep on going. We've been built to last. We've been built to endure. We've been equipped to go through. And we thank you, Lord. We repent, Lord, for those times where we just got ourselves stuck in the mud. But our spirit wheel drive is kicked in, and we're not getting stuck anymore. We're going to keep moving through to the purpose that you've called each and every one of us. And we just thank you, Lord, for continuing to give us the strength, continuing to be our Father, to be our God. And you're never going to stop. You said you're not a man that you should lie. You said you're God and you change not. And we're making a commitment that we're not changing either. We're going to stay children of God, and we're going to continue acting like it, going through anything that the enemy puts up there. Because you settled it all. When Jesus gave us power over all the power of the devil, it was done. It was done. So we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for all of the victories that we're going to experience. We thank you for all the trials that we're going through. And we thank you, Lord, that we're coming out on the other side stronger and even more determined because you said it, and that's all that matters to us. We thank you for it all, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.